Right now, joining us on the phone lines is U.S. Senator John Bozeman here on KASU. Senator Bozeman, thank you so much for your time, as always. Great to talk with you, sir.
Well, thank you, Jonathan, for having me on.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on yesterday's testimony with Michael Cohen. Kind of what were your takeaways on that yesterday, please?
Well, to be honest, I had a lot going on with the committee work. We have the American Legion up here, disabled veterans, all of that really very positive stuff. So I just was kind of spotty, you know, watching different portions. I think his testimony was mixed. He's a guy that is in serious legal troubles, and so you just kind of have to, I think, take his testimony and take everything else. But to be honest, I didn't really pay that much attention.
I've heard a lot of people say it's kind of basically a rehash, that there were maybe just a few things that were a little bit of a surprise. Do you think that what he's saying is going to change people's minds of the president, or how do you think this is going to play out in the future in relation to the presidency?
I don't think that this particular hearing will have much of a bearing at all. You know, it's kind of he said versus, you know, somebody else saying something different. So it didn't appear that there was a lot of new things that came out. I don't think anything came out that put the president in any jeopardy legally. So it's just a sad situation. And I was pleased with the way that the chairman ran the committee. I know Congressman Cummings very well. I thought he did a good job of maintaining decorum, letting everybody have their say. So that's a good step in the right direction, if anything, in that regard.
You said this was a sad situation. Why would you describe it as sad, sir, please?
Well, you just have an individual that was, you know, regardless of his behavior, you always feel a little bit sorry for individuals that are in the situation he's facing himself. This is a guy that's going away for a significant time in prison. And so I think that to fall from grace is difficult for anyone, and so I think that's really what makes it difficult, whether it's him or anybody else in that situation. And certainly, you know, we're a nation of laws; we need to enforce our laws. I'm as strong, on that as anyone. People need to be punished. They need to, you commit a crime, then you need to be punished. On the other hand, you do feel for people that get themselves in these make poor choices.
Speaking of that, do you think that the president has done enough to be able to commit crimes? Do you think that he might ultimately be impeached? I know there's been some people who've called for his impeachment.
No, there's a number of people that have, but an awful lot of money's been spent. Many, many people looking into, any sort of collusion, any sort of criminal activity, period. And at this point, and talking to friends on the different committees and things, talking about things that they could talk about, I don't think that there's any evidence in that regard. It's difficult. You take any businessman with extensive dealings. Right now, if you ask the IRS for an interpretation of a ruling, you'd probably get 10 different interpretations from the people that are actually at the IRS that are the experts. So you get to digging around. That's really his real vulnerability. But an awful lot of money's been spent, and so far I haven't seen any evidence that anything has arisen to what we would call an impeachable offense.
U.S. Senator John Bozeman joining us here. As you know, President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un left their summit in Vietnam without any kind of an agreement on a denuclearization deal. What are your thoughts on that?
Jonathan, I think it was really important that they had the first summit. The second summit now, is concluded. And the idea of sitting in a room and actually talking, getting to know each other, not only the president and the leadership of North Korea, but the staffs. In the future, this will make it such that as tensions arise, it will make it easier to de-escalate. It will make it such that tensions are less likely to rise. A year or so ago, we were, very close to almost conflict with the North Koreans as they were firing missiles over Japan and all of those kind of things. So I think in that sense, it's really positive. I also think it's very positive. There was concern that the president might cut a bad deal, that he basically just walked away and said, you know, we can't do what you're asking us to do. The only thing that the North Koreans have had economically or in any other way, their greatest leverage was nuclear threats. You know, if you don't do this, we're going to do that. And the president, you know, buy us off. And the president just hadn't had any part of that, to his credit. So the fact that they walked away and said, no, you know, you've got to denuclearize, we're not going to lift our sanctions, I think was really positive and sent a strong message not only to the North Koreans but the world.
What do you think should be the next step in the situation?
I think they should go forward and again, continue talks. I don't know about another summit anytime soon. It will depend if they get, you know, the vibes that the North Koreans are actually serious about coming to terms. They offered up some things that it's easy to give up a facility when you've got a bunch of secret facilities. The good news is that our intelligence community that works so very hard, and I'm so proud of these men and women that just do a great job protecting us, they have the ability to know that other stuff is going on. And so that gives us a lot of leverage. So I think we need to continue talking. We need to continue the sanctions and maybe even the opportunity to ratchet things up a little bit greater.
U.S. Senator John Bozeman joining us here. I know that after we get through talking, you're going to be stepping into the Ag Committee hearing for the implementation of the Farm Bill. Kind of give us an update on that. I know you've been working on that.
Well, this is so important. And you know, we can be pleased, Jonathan. You know, we hear a lot about not being able to get things done here and the bipartisanship, so much partisanship going on. But we were able to pass a farm bill that had record numbers of Senate votes. And then in Arkansas, you're talking about 25% of the economy. In eastern Arkansas, a much greater percentage of that even. 1 in 6 jobs throughout the state. So the important thing is we passed a farm bill that is good in the sense that it gives the farmers and ranchers a baseline so that they can go and get their loans that they're going to need to plant a crop this growing season. On the other hand, we need to make sure that the government, Secretary Perdue, the Ag Department, implements it the way that Congress intended. So we're going to be visiting with the Secretary, asking him how things are going. Probably a little bit behind because of the shutdown, but I think moving in the right direction. I think Secretary Perdue has actually done a very, very good job. He's been to Arkansas several occasions, knows the state, and really does know agriculture. So, but we're going to hold his feet to the fire, again, in a very bipartisan effort, making sure that the farmers and ranchers have the safety net that they need so that we can continue. We can be so very proud. We've got the cheapest, safest food supply of any place in the world and doing such a great job of not only feeding our country, but constantly looking for new markets, which is so very important to continue to feed a good part of the rest of the world.
Yeah, and I know, especially with Arkansas, with the main crops that are grown, you know, with a lot of the rice coming and other stuff from Arkansas, there's always that concern that if you have a national farm bill, how do we make sure that Arkansas farmers and ranchers are appropriately represented in that farm bill? How do you go about doing something like that to make sure that your farmers and ranchers that you represent are accurately included to make sure that their interests are okay when you're talking about a national farm bill like that?
Well, they're not bashful at all. They're they don't mind telling myself and the rest of the delegation about, you know, what they need in terms of having an adequate safety net. So certainly the stakeholders, people in our state, the Farm Bureau and the other organizations, Cattlemen Association, and the list goes on and on. They do a tremendous job of helping to educate Congress. And I think that's why we were able to get the vote that we got. Again, a record in the Senate as far as yes votes. So that's important. The other thing, Jonathan, it's a little bit unusual in the sense that when you get into that aspect of the Farm Bill, it's not Democrats and Republicans, it's regionalism. And so the I states, Indiana, Iowa, places like that, they've got their needs. The South has their needs. you know, in the South, we're able to, we've got water, we're able to irrigate and put fertilizer on. So we generally get a crop. In the Iowa states, there's not as much water, there's not as much an ability to irrigate. And so they worry about actually having a crop. So you need different products for different areas. California, they export a lot of stuff. The Great Plains are different. So it's a matter of really looking at all of those things, working diligently over not a period of months, but these things take years to put into place, and everybody coming together. And we were blessed, and just with a lot of hard work, Republicans, Democrats, the different regions, and the ag committees in the House and the Senate providing the leadership, we were able to get that done, where we have a bill that not only the growers, but the ag research, which is also very important, the conservation programs, came up with a bill that everybody is fairly pleased with.
And one thing I know, Arkansas raises a lot of, there's a lot of chicken and rice production in that. Of course, we talk a lot about how we can get those Cuban markets opened up and that. So is there a movement to be able to do that? And where does that stand by way of the Cuba market?
Well, I met with the Cuban ambassador in the last couple weeks and discussed that. We're working hard. We were able to put a little bit of a provision in there that kind of moves us in that direction somewhat, a little bit of a step in the door. But we're working very hard to do that. The other thing is that the other markets, we got to get this China thing resolved, which is so very important, but also Japan is looming out there. I'm going to be talking to the European Union representatives later this afternoon. This will be at the top of the list. You know, how can we get more of our agriculture products into those countries? So trade is very, very important for our farmers. I think about probably 40% of the products that are grown in Arkansas wind up someplace else in the world.
Following the efforts in Newark and Virginia to legalize abortion on demand through birth, the Senate voted on legislation that would require medical care to be given to babies born alive during failed abortion procedures. Legislation had bipartisan support but failed to get enough votes to advance, something that you supported. Why did you support this?
Well, I think this is really a very sad situation. You have the situation of having a little one that's actually born alive and then not taking care of it, you know, allowing it simply just to die. These are babies that, have the possibility of being viable. And so common sense, I think morality dictates that we should do all that we could in those situations. We worked hard to get the votes to do this. This is, you know, we're not talking about early-term abortion or this or that. This is something that should be just a no-brainer. It truly is, in my opinion, infanticide. But we simply were not able to muster up enough votes to get it to go forward.
Well, what about some people who would say that there were some problems with some specifics in the act, you know, like by way of maybe medical doctors and how they would be, you know, what kind of legal ramifications they may face for stuff like that? That might have been something that might have been a sticking point to that bill. How would you respond to the criticism of that?
I think it's really sad, Jonathan, in the sense that you know, I would be open to making it such that we dealt with all of those problems, amend the bill. There still simply would not be enough votes to do it. We could try and pass a bill that said that you could not have late-term abortion after, I think everybody agrees, you get up into about 27 weeks or so, that is truly a viable little person. And try and pass a bill and saying, you know, you couldn't do abortions after that period of time, you still wouldn't be able to get the votes. There's a group of people, and it's growing, that simply don't want any restriction of abortion, even after birth, that are very strong. And as a result, that's why we can't get these things done.
Do you think that the reason why that is because there are concerns by some about an overturning of Roe versus Wade, especially with a more conservative Supreme Court? Do you think that's part of that, and how do you respond to that?
I think you could argue that, but on the other hand, now the science with the ultrasounds and things like that, you get up to really after about 25, 26, for sure 27 weeks, that's a little person. And it's very clear from a scientific standpoint. And it's really remarkable, Jonathan. We're the only, we're not the only country, we're of only one of like four or five countries, China, North Korea, I believe Vietnam, and us, we're the only ones that allow these very late-term abortions. So, you know, we're in a unique situation. It's not a good situation. So I think you can argue all of those things, and yet this should be dealt with, and it's not being dealt with, and I think it's a very sad situation.
U.S. Senator John Bozeman, thank you so much for your time today, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Thank you, Jonathan. As always, it's a real pleasure to be on your show.